very good singing. Boy, it's fun to be up here and have all of your voices directed this way so you don't get to experience that. Boy, that's good singing. Praise the Lord for that. It's amazing to me how singing prepares your heart for a message. And so I pray the Lord will bless this time today. I love Thanksgiving. Oh, it's finally the week of. And so I can't wait. Love all the Thanksgiving things that are around it. I was trying to Google some Thanksgiving jokes, but I got blocked on everything I tried to open. So anyway, I don't know where Mr. Porozinski is. I got to keep saying him, unblock this. Anyway, I'm teasing, but no Thanksgiving jokes. I did think of one, though. Why did the pilgrims wear saggy pants? Because their belt buckles were on their hat. Ah. All right, 1 John chapter 1. I better stop there. My jokes are mediocre at best. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at this passage today. 1 John chapter 1. I love Thanksgiving, and I was thinking about, you know, when you get asked to preach the week of Thanksgiving, you know, you kind of, you know that you're going to be thinking about things to be thankful for. And as I think about Thanksgiving and how much we have to be thankful for, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. And so, you know, this year we had people in our church whose spouse passed away. And naturally you think, boy, that'd be hard to give thanks at a time like that. Well, if you're thankful, you're thankful that they're in heaven. You're thankful that you have a family who's serving the Lord because of their faithfulness. And so, man, there's just always something to be thankful for. Things that come into your lives throughout this year, be thankful. Find something to be thankful for in every situation. You can be thankful for the smallest things, and it'll change your attitude about the bad things that come up in your lives. And so always find something to be thankful for. One of the things I'm thankful for is friends. I'm so thankful for good friends that I have. I often down here at lunchtime, I sit with different people and, you know, just fellowship and have good conversation and enjoy that part of sitting around. Of course, at home, I have a family, and you sit around the table and you talk about, well, I don't know what you talk about with little kids. You know, they just blab about the funniest things that happen at school or whatever. There's always something to enjoy the time together with. And I want to talk about this idea today of fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of fellowship is found a lot here in 1 John chapter 1. And it literally just means to have the same purpose and the same experiences and the same interests. So when I think of fellowship, I think of talking. I like to talk to people some. I enjoy fellowshipping. But that's not all that's involved in fellowship. It's actually more so just being with somebody who you relate to and enjoying your time together. Of course, that's why you'd normally have good fellowship with your family. I do with my wife. We love to talk. A lot of times, man, we got to go to sleep, but we talk about different things, and we're busy. We enjoy being around each other, and your friends are like that. You enjoy being with them. I remember in college, I had friends, and we'd, you know, roommates. Maybe I shouldn't tell on myself, but we'd talk about a lot of different things. Sometimes after the lights were out at night, you know. But there's that fellowship. You have a common bond. You have a common direction. I remember a lot of times the guy that I went on the bus route with on Saturday, we'd spend a lot of time, myself and Pastor Brennan's stool when he was in college and others, we'd talk about a lot of different things and just enjoy the fellowship. We had the same direction. He wanted at that point to be a missionary, and I kind of thought that was where the Lord was going to lead us, lead me, and so we talk about a lot of things. The fellowship, same interests, same desires, same experiences. We're in college together. There's a lot of experiences in Bible college, right? Dorm life especially. But that fellowship, as I think about that, and I'll get to my message, but one of the primary purposes of creation is for fellowship. God made Adam and Eve, and he put them there in the garden, and he fellowshiped with them every evening in the cool of the day. I've often thought, you know, what did they talk about? Did God do all that? What did they talk about, you know? I have often told my class, I believe that God told them how to live on this earth. He talked to them about how to build things, and he talked to them how to grow things in the garden, and you know, he told them what to do. He had conversation. They had the same direction. Adam was perfect at that time. And think about this. Adam had one friend in the whole world, and it was God himself. And then he had another friend who came along, and some of you are looking for a friend like this. It was a lady. Eve came along, and he met her, and she became his friend. And they talked with God about things. Isn't that something? You think about that fellowship. What sweet fellowship that must have been. Enoch walked with God for over 300 years. What'd they do? He fellowshiped with the Lord. He had the same interests as God. He had the same purpose as God. He talked with God. He thought about God. I remember when I was dating, I remember my wife for most of a summer, she had gone back to New York. And so I remember, you know, a lot of the times when she was gone, I'd be thinking, okay, what's she doing? Now you guys text. We didn't have texting as common back then. But what's she doing? I was constantly thinking about her and wondering what's going on and what kind of day she's having and so on. That's fellowship. That's thinking about her, and I can't help but think that Enoch walked with God like that. Constantly, Lord, what do you think of this? Everything that came into his life, what do you think about this? Is this a good idea? Lord, I'd really like, you know, you open your heart to the Lord. Lord, I'd really like to do this. What do you think about this? That's the fellowship that Enoch, I can imagine, had with the Lord. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of the mountain with God, fellowshipping. Imagine that scene. Ooh. Being with the Lord and the Lord talking. What did they talk about? And we know he talked about the tabernacle and about different things, but I can't help but again believe that the Lord talked to Moses about what heaven is like and how perfect God is, and then showed to Moses his character and some of his nature, his glorious nature at that. And we could go on and on. People who spent time with the Lord. The disciples were with Jesus. By the way, we're going to get to John here, says that when I was with Jesus, I saw him in his glory. And let's jump in here at 1 John chapter 1 now. In the Gospels, of course, we see John talking about the Lord. By the way, the book of John, not 1 John, but the book of John, has more conversation with Jesus in it than any of the other Gospels. And I'm sure it's because John wanted to share his conversation with the Lord. He writes a lot about those conversations. You see more of the heart of Christ being shown in the Gospel of John. But John here, he knew what the Lord was like. He knew what the character of the Lord was like. John had spent at least 3 years with the Lord Jesus himself inspecting his character. He never was failed once. He never saw one inconsistency in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never saw any failure. He saw a perfect Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he saw a miraculous Jesus Christ, didn't he? Here's Jesus out there walking on the water. John had been out there on that Sea of Galilee many times, and he obviously knew you can't do that unless you're God. He saw Jesus heal and forgive sins and do all the things that God alone can do. He saw Jesus bring Lazarus out of the grave. John saw these things. He saw the character of Christ. He saw Christ at his low human moments, and Christ passed all of those tests in flying colors. He saw Christ at the glorious moment on the Mount of Transfiguration. And John there again speaks of this here in 1 John. We beheld his glory. It's clearly talking about on the mountaintop. So John saw Jesus, and he had fellowship with Jesus, and he wants us to have that same fellowship. For sake of time, we're going to only look at a few verses here in 1 John. Four times in this chapter is the word fellowship used. So clearly the chapter is about us, we the believers, having fellowship with Christ. Now, before I start into it, I have a lot of things running through my head, as you can tell. I think some of us, especially the younger we are, maybe the teenagers, some of you might say, well, I mean, what do you mean it's sweet to have fellowship with God? I mean, how can that be sweet? And what the problem is that you haven't figured out what's good in your life yet. You know, you're still used to eating Aldi hot dogs instead of prime rib and enjoying those kinds of Aldi. Well, sorry, Aldi's. I shouldn't diss on the Aldi hot dog because we use them all the time. But, you know, you're used to eating those kind, mac and cheese, and you haven't figured out what it is yet to eat good and healthy things and enjoy those things. My point is simply, you haven't learned to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you need to. You need to come to the point where you for yourself experience fellowship with God. So let's look at a few verses here this morning in the book of John chapter 1. Let's start in verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, here's an eyewitness, John the Beloved, saying about his experience with Jesus, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. So there's fellowship between John and God, between John and Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. All right, so there's fellowship with God, and there's fellowship one with another. Why? Where's this fellowship rooted in? It's because we're all in the light. Those who are in the light, those who are in Jesus Christ, enjoy this fellowship. So anything that takes away from that light, oh boy, I'm not interested in that. And if I have a friend who is not interested, I'm not interested in them as far as I'm not going to spend time with them because I want to be in the light. So let's look at several ideas this morning. What is true fellowship? I want to give you four things here that true fellowship involves. First of all, it involves the same love and the same interests. Listen, if you have fellowship with God, you're going to enjoy the same things that he loves. The things that he is interested in, you will be interested in. Now again, I think one of the best examples of this is your spouse someday. You'll be interested, hopefully, in the things that she's interested in, and she will be interested vice versa. Listen, those interests are real, and we enjoy doing things together. My brother, I have the same type of experience with one of my brothers. We like a lot of the same things. I have other brothers who I'm not as close to, is because we don't have the same interests. One of my brothers, every time he comes to the States for any length of time, he wants to go mountain climbing. And I enjoy mountain climbing other than the headaches I get. So we go out and we find something to do. Listen, that's just part of what you do. We don't talk all the time. We just enjoy the same things. I remember when I first started, use this example again, when I first started dating, I remember saying, you know, what am I going to say? And some of you guys, you know, you sit on a bus for hours and hours going on a long college activity. What am I supposed to say? Well, that's the problem, is you don't know each other very well yet. Once you know each other, your interests are the same. You don't have to be talking all the time, trying to figure out what to say, because you enjoy thinking about different things. You're comfortable around each other. And listen, I think our experience with the Lord is the same. It's not about me praying all the time and saying words to him. It is about we just enjoy the same things. I'm working for the Lord. I'm thinking about his character, about his deity, about his holiness, about his goodness. I enjoy thinking about him. Listen, that's fellowshipping with the Lord. That's the meditating, the same love. Secondly, not only does real fellowship involve the same love, it involves the same joys. The joy of God is found in his attributes. Listen, do you enjoy the attributes of God? See, I don't know. Hadn't thought about it. Let me give you a couple just real quick. God is eternal. My opinion is that this is why, I know holiness, but this is why the greatest attributes of God, only God can be eternal. Think about that. His eternal attribute, he was never formed, he was never created, he has always been there. If anybody else could be eternal, then we would be God. Because eternal, the eternity of Jesus Christ and of God, is to me one of the greatest things. It shows, it sets him apart from anybody else. Anyway, I love to think about that. The holiness of God, the same joys that heaven is filled with Jesus Christ being there, are the joys that we should have. Now, go to verse number 4. I skipped it. Look at verse number 4. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, where do you find your joy? Where do you find your joy? I like sports. That was a fun game last night. That was really fun. I didn't like the dagger, Cooper, you know. But other than that, I enjoyed that. That was fun. But you know what? As we all know, you know, we can hardly remember from year to year who won the game last time. Well, maybe you can. The ones who played, I'm sure you guys don't forget. But I had to think about, you know, who won last time. So, anyway, that's not my joy. I don't think it's anybody. Hopefully it's not your joy to win a basketball game or a football game. We enjoy those things. But the fullness of joy is in the things of the Lord. You won't find. Listen, teenager. If you seek joy in other places other than the Lord and what's right and clean and holy, you are seeking in the wrong place, and you're deceived. You're deceived. You think that this is where it's at. This is the joy. Boy, the world, man, they have all the nice things. They've got good jobs and good money, and they look sharp, and they have this and that. But guess what? The fullness of joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is. You're going to miss it. You're being deceived if you look for it anywhere else. The fullness of joy, the same joy. Third, I got to move on. The same operation. You say, what in the world does that mean? There's a sphere in which God works alone. Okay, now follow me. There's things that only God does all by himself. He created the world. He sets the world in order, you know. He doesn't wait for us to see what will happen with the climate. He does it himself. Climate change. There's things that God does all by himself, but there's other things that he works with us in this. He works together with us. The Bible talks about a cooperation with him. There's a number of verses. 1 Corinthians 3:9, the Bible says, we are laborers together with God. We then as workers, together with him, 2 Corinthians 6:1, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth, 3 John 8. So what's the point? There's things that if you don't plant a seed, you have to do your part and then God will bring that seed up. You have to put things into place in certain areas. If you have a surgeon who binds up a wound, the surgeon has to bind that up. He has to do his job. And then God does the healing. There's, in the spiritual life, in our lives, if we don't step out in faith, then God will not do his part. If I don't give out the gospel, then those people will not hear the gospel, and there'll be people that'll go to hell because of that. God graciously works with us. Listen, when we work together, God blesses that. And when we work together, we have the same direction and the same purpose and the same interests. Right, basketball team? You're a basketball boy. You enjoy an experience together. And everybody relates to each other and enjoys being around each other. Listen, we're a body, a college here, and we all relate. The old guys around here, we always talk about what it was like back in the old days. You know, when the pass system was strict, and they always say, you know, talk about things like that. But so what happened? We were there together. We were there at the same time. We were in the fight together, as it were. And so there's this cooperation. There's this fellowship that we have. Listen, when you go through some spiritual battles with the Lord, it'll change. You'll think differently. Boy, I remember when the Lord was with me, when he helped me do that, and boy, what an excitement that was. You don't forget those kinds of things. When you're in a battle together, you enjoy the presence of one another. You've become bound together. So we have fellowship by the same operation. And then lastly, we have fellowship by direct communion with God. And this is what we usually think of. When I talk about fellowship with the Lord, is this working? It's not working, is it? Sorry, I'll stay over here. When I talk about fellowship with the Lord, I'm not talking about just talking. See, that's where we get off. We say, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to pray all the time? Am I supposed to just sit there and read my Bible? And by the way, that's not bad. You know, but that's not all that it is. When we live our lives, what do you think the Bible means when it talks about praying without ceasing? Everything you do is in light of what the Lord wants. Lord, what do you think of this? And I'm telling you, this message is so convicting to me. In these several weeks as I've been thinking about this, the Lord has really stirred me. Listen, your life is lived kind of in the flesh. You do your own thing, and then you add the Lord to it every day, every morning, you know, and this and that. What about through the day? What about walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord throughout the day? And the Bible says it's sweet and it's joyful. It's good. I won't name him, but I remember a guy who's been around here for many years. And he was always, I wouldn't say he was sour in him. He just wasn't very friendly, whatever, wasn't very joyful. Finally, he started dating somebody, and oh my goodness, his attitude changed. He was a happy guy. Every time you saw him, he had a smile on his face. What happened? Started having some fellowship. Everything about him changed. Listen, that's the way people should see our lives. When they look at us, hey, something changed in them. Yeah, it's the Lord working in our lives. And we are motivated, we have purpose, we have interest, we're excited about the things of the Lord. What is your fellowship in communion with the Lord? Friend with friend. I said at the beginning that I'm thankful for my friends. I love to talk with my friends, just to run things by them and talk about who knows what. Things come up. Man, it's fun, it's enjoyable. I remember when I was a little kid, we'd have company come over to the house. You know how little kids are, and we had a whole crowd of little kids in our house. We went out and played, and we did fun things, and all the old fogies, they'd sit in the living room. I don't know what they were doing in there. They'd just sit in there, and they'd talk. I mean, I didn't see them laughing real loud. I didn't see them, and they all just sat there. I remember sometimes when I was being too loud, which I thought that was the purpose of our get-together, was to play and be loud and have fun. And all of a sudden, my dad, you know, would come to the next room, and he'd get me. And the punishment for me being too loud was I had to go sit next to him and sit on the floor and listen to these old people do who knows what while they're just sitting there talking. Oh, you know. And he said, I'll let you know when it's time to go. You know what happens there, and you know, 2 minutes turns into 5 minutes. Oh, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I gotta get his attention. I finally pull on his pant leg. Can I go? No, I told you I would let you know. Oh man, what happened? They were enjoying themselves too much. They found out that true joy is in fellowship. The real fun is talking about things. Now, I like to do things too, and I'm one of those old fogies now. But I like to do things. but I love to talk. I love to spend time just chatting about different things. Let me give you four quick thoughts about the idea here of fellowship, lastly, to wrap this up. Here in the book of 1 John, John knew the object of fellowship, first of all. He knew the object of fellowship, which of course is Jesus Christ. Jesus, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John had seen Jesus up close and he saw that Jesus was perfect in every way. And the object of his fellowship was just in Jesus Christ. Listen, about 10 to 11 of the apostles who saw Jesus, spent time with Jesus, 10 or 11 of them gave their lives in martyrdom for the cause of Christ. That tells you something. They were committed to him. They saw him, they watched him for 3 years, they knew what he was like, and they knew that there was no imperfection there. Remember a number of years ago, there was the word that the planet Venus was going to cross the disk of the sun. Our vision was going to be of the sun was going to be interrupted by Venus. Anybody remember this? Just a few years ago. Okay, anyway. So, I went down the day that it was supposed to happen. I went down to Mr. Leslie's shop, and I got a welding helmet. And what you had to do, you had to look directly at the sun. It was kind of like one of these eclipses, you know. But anyway, you had to look directly at the sun. And with a welding helmet, I remember I went out, and I looked directly at the sun, and I didn't see a thing. And I had heard you have to stand real still and you have to look at it for about 30 seconds before you'll see anything. And as I'm out there, you know, of course, looking like a total fool, out looking at the sun. And I'm standing there and all of a sudden, it comes into focus. And there on the sun itself, you see this little bitty disc. It's the planet Venus. Floating slowly across the sun. It took a couple of hours to cross. And as I think of that, I can't help but think here what the Bible says about who Jesus is. Look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. This is John, a witness of Jesus, saying this, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, you look at the sun and you see a little bitty disc of the Venus planet crossing the sun. That's a little darkness. But if you look at Jesus, if you look at God, you won't see one little bit of darkness. That's how perfect he was. And you can have fellowship with him. You can, you should. This is the object of our fellowship is a person in Jesus Christ who is God, who is no darkness at all. Secondly, John knew the object. He also knew the results of fellowshipping with God, that your joy might be full. By the way, John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches, the same phrase is used there. John uses that same phrase, that your joy might be full. The results of fellowship is joy. Again, what do you experience in your joy in the Lord? You say, well, it's kind of, you know, I do my devotions because I have to. You're missing out. You're missing out. You're going through the motions instead of experiencing real fellowship with the Lord. Listen, there's all kinds of people that have a marriage partner. They're married, but they don't enjoy the fellowship with their spouse. They seek elsewhere in some cases. They enjoy being with the guys and things more than they do with their friend. What happened? They lost their joy. Their joy. It happens the same way in the Christian life. When we lose our joy in fellowship, it's really kind of empty. Our Christian life becomes pretty empty at that point. Listen, Make sure that your joy is in the Lord and it will be full. Full. Don't you like full? I'm an ice cream guy. I like full. A number of years ago, we had a little get-together thing with the Mitchells, and we bought some ice cream. And Brother Mitchell said, hey, I'll take some ice cream. And so my wife, you know, she dishes up like she dishes for me. A nice big bowl, nice and full with good ice cream. Oh. So she brings it to Brother Mitchell, and he said, am I supposed to share this? I mean, you got more bowls to split this up? She said, oh, no, that's for you. Oh, the whole thing is for me. She said, oh, I thought all men eat ice cream like my husband does. But I like full. Listen, we can have full joy in our fellowship. If you don't have it, you're missing out. You don't know what you're missing. You're seeking it in the wrong places. You're finding a shallow joy, a false joy. Third, John knew the hindrance to fellowship. Uh-oh, sin. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, we have sin that shows up in our lives and we don't take it serious. I heard an interesting story. Let me give you this illustration. There was a time-lapse video on top of a mountain in the Rockies. And they showed this picture that they developed. They showed a whole bunch of lightning strikes all at once. So it showed a huge number of lightning strikes coming down. And what we usually see when we look at lightning, we see one bolt or one quick shot coming down. And that's all we see. And I thought, you know, that's a good illustration of how we see sin. We see one sin. We see, well, you know, I kind of messed up there, you know. We see sin. God sees just a vast network of sin. Think about your sin. When you do something wrong, there are multiple sins usually involved there, right? If I lie, why do I lie? I lied because I was proud, usually, often. I wanted to protect my name. I was selfish. There are multiple sins involved in each sin. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that God sees all of that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen, we're self-deceived. In 1997, Timothy McVeigh blew up a federal building in Oklahoma City with a huge bomb. When he did that, of course, he was caught. He was tried. At the trial, they asked one of his former Army buddies to come in and testify. He had asked them to come and testify before him. Here's what he said. He said, I've known Tim. Now, remember, this is a guy who killed 168 people. A bunch of them were kids, by the way. He said, I've known Tim for quite a while. If you don't consider what just happened in Oklahoma City, Tim is really a good person. Isn't that what we do? You know, oh, well, if you take out this big sin I committed, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I've done a lot of really good things. If you take a couple things out, isn't that so typical? We're self-deceived. We think we're fine. We look at ourselves and we don't realize that sin is breaking up the joy. It breaks up the fellowship. We know the stories, how our kids, you've heard them, I'm sure. The other day I walked by the front out here and I see the boys lined up for PE. And there's my son. And as soon as he saw me, he made eye contact with me. He looked down at the ground. That's a bad sign. I said, what happened? And he told me what had happened. He got 5 demerits, and he deserved every one of them, of course. But he told me what happened. Listen, what happened? The fellowship was broken. Just like that. He didn't want to see me. Usually he's all excited. All my girls, they're all excited unless they're in trouble. The fellowship is broken when sin is involved. We lie and do not the truth. And what do we have to do? the restoring of fellowship. Look at verse number 9. You know this. We need our fellowship restored. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We know this. What does the word confess mean? Name it. Name it. Here's that big lightning strike with all the bolts, all the different sins involved in every sin we commit. You get serious about naming sins off and confessing sins, and the Lord will forgive you, and you'll get victory. I'm convinced in my life, when I don't see victory over sin, well, I did confess that sin. Not really. Not really. I confessed it a little bit, but I didn't really want to talk about it too much because I was too embarrassed of it. It was too shame your sin. It's a different story then. You realize how wicked that sin is. Confess it. It breaks up your fellowship. Listen, my family, I don't want anything to break up our fellowship. I don't want that to happen. I don't want things to come between me and my wife. It breaks up that fellowship that we have. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents, and he got a slingshot. You know, one of the kind that you pull back and you shoot. So he took that slingshot out in the woods, and he practiced and practiced. He couldn't hit anything. He came home, back to the house where he was staying at his grandma's. He came back to grandma's backyard, and he saw her pet duck walking around the yard. So on an impulse, he took aim with the slingshot, pulled it back, and fired. And he drilled the duck, and it fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the wood pile, and he looked up at the house, and he saw his sister, Sally, looking right at him. He didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. After lunch that day, Grandma came over and said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." And Sally said, "Johnny wants to help you wash the dishes. Right, Johnny?" And she walked over and she said, "Remember the duck." And Johnny said, "Yes, Grandma, I'll help you wash the dishes." Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, "I'm sorry, I need Sally to help make supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to help make supper. Remember the duck." "Yes, I'll help stay and make supper." After several days, Johnny did both his chores and Sally's chores, and finally he couldn't stand it anymore, so he went to his grandma and said, "Grandma, I actually killed your pet duck." And she said, "I know. I saw it from the kitchen window. But I forgive you. I was just wondering how long you'd let Sally make a slave out of you." Isn't that typical? When sin is hung over our heads and the devil keeps beating us up with it. Ha! I mean, he gets us coming and going. I'm telling you, the devil does. If we have a victory for the Lord, he tries to knock us down. Hell, you're just getting lifted up in pride. If we have a defeat, he says, "See, I knew you were going to fail in it." He gets us coming and going. If you let him, he'll hold that sin over your head and he'll beat you up with it. And you'll continue your life that way in defeat and misery. What you need to do? Do what Johnny did. Go confess it. Forsake it. He's ready to forgive. He created you to spend time with you, fellowshipping with you. What's your days like? Do you go through your day fellowshipping with him, talking to him? Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to talk to him again. Can't wait. Just enjoy doing the things that he would like. Listen, there's a peace that comes over my heart when I do something that I know the Lord is pleased with. I know he's pleased. You know that. You know the feeling. If you've experienced, you know that. You do something God like. Listen, when you're convicted at a gas station, there's a person on the other side of the pump. Hey, give him a tract. You do that. That's a good feeling. You know you did something that the Lord was pleased with. Listen, when we do that, we have fellowship with God. The fellowship is talking to him, yes, but it's doing what he wants. Spending time with him, together with him, enjoying his company. How's your fellowship with Christ? That's the question today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your wonderful goodness and making us your friends. Lord, Abraham was your friend. You fellowshiped with him. Enoch walked with you and you fellowshiped with him, walking and talking with God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have real fellowship with God. Thank you that John gives us this example of his fellowship in person with Jesus. Lord, we can have the same type of fellowship, not in person yet, but someday we will. Lord, what a blessing it is to think of that. Please help us today to have real fellowship. Lord, help each of these young people here today to have real time of devotions with you in the morning. Absolutely to have that, but then also throughout the day to spend time in fellowship with you. When we're walking around, Lord, help us to get off our phones. Help us to get off of our computers and spend time fellowshipping with you. Lord, that's what we need. We need to put our focus back on you. Please help us with these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to have you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And as the invitation song is